golfj.com.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Golf J podcast on golfj.com. I'm Jim Sinacropi alongside Rhett Ticone inside the Finger Lakes 1.TV studios in Seneca Falls, New York on Monday night, October 26th. And a ton to talk about tonight. The second straight 23-year-old winner of the 2016 PGA Tour season, Smiley Kaufman, winning at the Shriners. Is Rich Beem a traitor, a gentleman, or a capitalist? We'll give you our fantasy golf picks for the CIMB Classic in Malaysia. We'll have a chance for you to win a Golf J golf hat if you're the first to answer this week's trivia question on Twitter. So, hey, Red, how you doing?
Good, Jim. How are you? Happy Monday.
Yeah, Monday up here in upstate New York, late October, not feeling very like we're going to be playing too much more golf.
Last week was a nice week for golf. This week, not so much. Maybe next week. We'll see. We might get some November rounds in.
But certainly plenty of golf to watch, and the Shriners was good viewing on the Golf Channel this weekend. 23-year-old Smiley Kaufman made 5 birdies and an eagle on the back 9 to shoot 10 under 61.
61.
He also birdied 8 and 9, you know, heading into that back 9. So right. He was 7 under on the 8th tee and finished 16 under on the tournament. 7 shots back to start the day, another first-time winner, another 23-year-old winner, and nobody even saw the 61 on TV.
Didn't see. All we saw was him sitting in the caddy shack waiting to see if he was going to play a playoff or not. But, you know, what are you going to do? He comes out of nowhere. He's in the middle of the pack, and next thing you know, he's winning the tournament. There he is.
I guess he even asked his caddy on, like, sometime in the front nine, he's like, who do you think's going to win this week, you know?
He was just figuring to cash a check and move on.
Yeah, happy to make the cut, I guess, but put together the dream round. Finishing first ahead of fellow Web.com Tour graduate Patton Kazeri, who shot 15 under along with a million other guys. Cameron Tringali, Jason Bone, Cheka, Kevin Na, Brent Stegmaier, who was heading into the final round. And then
William McGirt ran out of holes.
He shot 62. Tied for eighth. He had the second best round of the tournament. You know, McGirt also had 6 birdies and an eagle on the back 9, matching Kaufman's 29. But Chad Campbell played good. He's a guy that we haven't heard too much lately. And Russell Henley rounded out the top 10.
Kazeri's one to watch, though, too. He's had a few good weeks. I mean, he's those young guys, there's a lot of them out there. And there's a lot of them that are, you know, going to win on any given week, you know. You pick one. I, you know, talked about Griot last week, and, you know, he didn't do so much this week. But, you know, they're all out there, and they're all trying to make their names. They're all trying to get in the Masters. Masters field's getting bigger.
Yeah,
every week.
I mean, and Kaufman almost looked surprised when they told him, hey, you're going to go to the Masters. He started to well up a little bit. You know, it's hard to believe. But, you know, I think this time of year, a lot of the tour players who are coming off the FedEx Cup playoffs use this time to tinker around a little bit with their games. But these young guys, this is their first PGA Tour events.
This is everything to them.
Yeah, they just finished the Web.com finals, and their games are peaking, and they're winning.
Yeah, they're playing every week, and they're not slowing down. And, I mean, the guy gets in – that's a zone of all zones right there. I mean, to shoot a 61 in the final round with final round Sunday pins, I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, nothing to shake a stick at, that's for sure.
Now, how about Kevin Na? For the second straight week, he finishes second when being in a position to win. Yeah. He didn't make the playoff this time, but he was on the 71st hole with an easy up and down, and he scuffed a chip.
After, you know,
this guy has mental issues, Kevin Na.
Yeah, so, I mean, last week he hits driver off the deck.
Yeah.
Very questionable choice.
Duck hook. Game over.
This week he birdies 16, makes a nice putt on 16 from a decent distance.
He also birdies. After 18 in regulation of the previous week. So he did come through.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just – it's just something about not finishing the whole way. But, you know, he makes the nice putt on 16 to birdie with a tough shot because he hit it left on a second shot on 16, and then he goes and chunks his chip, or Carter likes to call it blub his chip. He blubbed it.
Look, this is a shot that's about as basic an up and down as you can have. It cost him the tournament.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the type of up and down that you and I are going to convert 9.5 out of 10 times.
Well, we were talking earlier today, and I was saying to Jim, why not just putt that from there? I mean, I know, you know, these guys are chipping it to make it, but that fringe wasn't any, you know, that's perfect fringe. You know, you put that through there. What was that, a 15-footer? Wasn't any longer.
Up a hill and down to the, yeah, I would have putted that if it was my
own. Wasn't any longer than the putt he had on 16 that he made. So, right. I mean, why are you trying to chip that on a real tight fairway where that you have to hit it perfect? And he said he didn't. He got caught a blade of grass.
Did you see his post-game interview?
Yeah.
My God, has anybody ever been so? If that was, he basically said, "Oh, there was the grain was against it, and there was a few things." Then why not putt it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
If there's any indecision,
I don't know. He's taken. He said he hit a couple perfect practice swings, but the, you know, he caught the piece of grass that he saw there. I mean, putt that. You know, Hank Haney says putt everything. So I would be putting it right there.
But he's got some stuff going on up there, Kevin, now. But second place two straight weeks.
Still very good, and, you know, he's rolling along, too.
Yeah. So the European Tour was in Hong Kong.
Asian Tour. Was it the Asian Tour? Who knows?
Didn't know that Hong Kong was in Europe. But great field. Justin Rose ends up winning the USB Hong Kong Open by one shot after a final round battle with Lucas Beauregard in a tense and dramatic final round. It was Rose's eighth European Tour win, which takes him above Shane Lowry into fourth in the race to Dubai. Another
European, maybe there's landmark provinces before, a long time ago. I don't know.
Yeah, at one time I think Hong Kong may have been, held by Europeans. English
Euro Asia Tour. You know, good tournament though. They had good field. You know, there's some big name PGA stars in that.
Isn't there enough good courses in Europe where they can have these? You know, where they don't have to go to Hong Kong.
There are.
Or Dubai for their title. I mean, the European Tour is struggling.
Yeah,
they can't compete with the PGA Tour. I mean, but keep it in Europe.
Enough good courses. What better place to finish the tour season than St. Andrews? You know.
Yeah, or any place in Europe.
Yeah.
Besides Dubai,
plenty of good. But anyways, they had a good tournament this week, though. Justin Rose had a well-deserved win there. Ian Poulter was in the tournament.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, how he got in. And he was a late entry. He tried to make certain of playing his 13 events to maintain his tour membership card for 2016. Finished at 5-under with a closing 69. Yeah. So he played well.
No practice rounds.
You know. LPGA Tour. Mm-hmm. Lydia Ko is probably, of all the stories we have going on right now, I think Lydia Ko is the one that is amazing. She won the LPGA Taiwan Championship by 9 strokes on Sunday, a victory that allowed her to regain the number one ranking in the Rolex rankings. She's a New Zealand native. She also became the youngest in LPGA history to reach 10 victories, doing so at 18 years, 6 months, or 3.5 years earlier than Nancy Lopez was when she won for the 10th time.
Yeah, it's very impressive. She's on a run, you know, the Tiger-esque type of stuff, you know.
She's a tigress.
Yeah, there you go. But either way, she's playing some phenomenal golf, you know, winning top fives every week.
Yeah, her last 5 starts, she won the Canadian Pacific Women's Open. She won the Evian Championship. She tied for 2nd in the Sim Darby LPGA Malaysia. She tied for 4th in the KEB Hannah Bank Championship, and then won in Taiwan. I mean, she's dominant. Nobody's going to touch her when she wants to win.
She's going to, you know, this coming year, she'll win multiple majors. And, you know, when she puts it in drive and moves on, she's hitting the ball perfect right down the middle every time and winning all over the world. And she's an Instagram horse. She is all over Instagram. She knows her social media game.
Well, you know, she's what? How old is she? 18?
I think she's 18. Yeah, she's 18.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost 19. But she's young and she's good, and you'll see a lot more of her on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, which the LPGA Tour recently has become a little more interesting than I think it has been in the past 5 or so years. It's a little bit of a resurgent. America has Lexi Thompson and Lydia Ko from New Zealand, and along with all the South Koreans.
Got some girls from Europe coming in too.
Charlie Hall.
Yeah. There's a lot of good players. It's actually it's a good watch, and I found myself watching those tournaments as well. All these tournaments in Asia. Again, we've been watching prime time and midnight tournaments for the last 3 weeks, it seems. And
nothing's not going to change this week in Malaysia either for the PGA. As a matter of fact, the TV times for the PGA tournament in Malaysia, I think on Golf Channel, are like 10 to 2:30, 10 p.m. to 2:30 a.m.
Yeah,
perfect for me.
Absolutely.
Perfect for me. So
we'll have some live tweets going on during those.
Speaking of live tweets, time for the GolfJ.com Trivia Challenge of the Week. Tweet your answer to @TheGolfJ. Each week's winner will be entered into a drawing at the end of each month. Or actually, no, we changed that. We're going with a hat every week.
Yep.
And last Golf week's winner, Roarjax. Twitter handle Roarjax has a GolfJ hat heading his way. The question was, which international player has the most all-time PGA Tour wins? And the answer, of course, Vijay Singh, 34 victories, 3 majors in his 16-year career. This week, get ready. Get the get those Twitter accounts loaded up. First come, first served. Ryan Moore sets out to become the first man to capture the same event in 3 consecutive years. This week at the CIMB, he won last year, he won the year before. Who was the last player to win the same event 3 consecutive years? Who was the last player to do it? And it has been done. I'll give you a hint, it wasn't too long ago. And I'll give you another hint, it wasn't Tiger Woods.
It wasn't Tiger Woods.
Because that would be the first guy you'd think of, probably, if you're just going to hazard a guess, right? But it was not Tiger. That's not the answer. We'll give you the answer at the end of the show, but if you know it now, or if you're really good with Google, tweet us the answer, and we'll send you.
We'll send you out a nice hat.
.com golf hat.
We won't send you that one. That one's Jim's, but we'll send you one.
Well, yeah, we'll only show you the one I wore on the week show before.
That's right.
So, moving on to our this is our segment called The Greatest Golf Tips of All Time. We go back into some of these great golf instructional books, and we pick a classic tip each week, and we give it to you. So what do we got this week? This week we're coming out of the pages of my favorite golf book ever written, Zen Golf by Dr. Joseph Perrin. I've read it 8 times.
Yep,
I read it every spring for 8 years in a row. I did.
I believe you. And it's a great great way to just kind of get back to the basics of your swing and of how to play the game, you know.
And it's broken up.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
you can just read a couple pages and then come back to it and read a couple. It's not like necessarily interconnected.
Yep. And what we're going to talk about today is listening to your intuition. And what Dr. Parent says is there's a method to avoiding compounding one mistake with another. When you set up as to play a shot, tune into your body. And what he means by this is just feel what you think is the right thing to do. What is the right shot to make? What is the right club to take? If you're between irons and you're playing a longer mid to long iron and you're between them, take both of them. Take a couple practice swings. Take the 4-iron. See how it feels. If it feels good, then trust it and hit it. But if it doesn't feel good, if you're up at that ball and you're not feeling right about it, maybe go to the 5-wood. Take a couple practice or 5-iron. Take a couple practice swings and see how that feels.
Well, I live by that book, and I think what he's trying to say in this tip is another thing he says in the book is don't swing if you're not confident that you're making the right choice. You got to feel confident. You're not going to hit a good golf shot if you're over the ball thinking don't hook it. Or last time you were here, you hit it in that pond over there. Make sure you don't hit it in that pond. You want to take all those don'ts away. Focus on the target.
Get away from that.
So when he's talking about intuition, he's talking about, okay, you got a couple of shots to play. Your first choice might be a club that has you thinking about that hazard.
Yeah. What he's saying is basically, whatever, if a club making you feel uneasy, making you think you're going to hit it in the water, and a club, if you have if your 7-iron is your go-to club, and you're over the ball and you think you've got a few yards longer and you want to hit a 6-iron, but then you get over the ball and you don't feel good about it. You feel uneasy in your head. You're stressed out about it. Go back to the 7-iron, take your full swing, and see what happens. More than likely, it's going to be up by where you wanted it to be, you're going to have less strokes on your cart at the end of the day, and that's because you trusted yourself and you trusted what you felt was better and what was right to do.
Yeah, and that's something in my own game I've gotten a lot better at, was not going through with shots that I didn't feel good right. about.
Yep. Step back, feel it, and
it's know right. what you and for do. Me, it's not only a different club, it might be a different type of shot. Sure. I might step up to something thinking I'm going to play, a 15-yard right. hook or draw right. in there, yep. and, I'm just not feeling it. So maybe I'll take that same club and just try to hit a knockdown, yeah.
That's what he's talked about, too, is, on a difficult shot where you're trying to avoid another penalty shot or a shot in a problematic area. If you're not feeling it one way, think about it another way and maybe go that route, and more than likely you'll lower your score.
Like if you're on the 17th hole at a PGA tournament and you're tied for the lead and you have a basic up and down chip shot, but yep. you get over it and you see the grass is going right. against yep. you, yep. maybe yep. put the maybe chipper putt away and putt yep. it.
Take a couple practice swings with your putter and roll it up there.
So, great book.
Good for Kevin Na to read on the flight over.
Yeah. I'm sure that Kevin has read Zen Golf a million times. I'm telling you, that guy's got a lot going on up in the head. You can just watch him,
no doubt.
And you'll know it. But
no doubt.
But certainly fantastic game lately.
Yep.
So this is what we were talking about earlier. Well, why don't you tell the story?
So Rich Beem had a spot at the Hong Kong Open, and Ian Poulter needed to keep his status on the European Tour, as well as the potential for a Ryder Cup berth next year. And Rich Beem essentially just gave up his spot to let Ian Poulter into the tournament. At a cost.
$1 million?
Yes. That was... so it wasn't the... Initially, no one knew about that part of it, and everybody thought he was doing it out of the kindness of his heart. But
in which case, the American fans were angry, calling him a traitor, because yes. he's making it easier for the... And which, as far as I'm concerned, if we're going to go and play Europe, I want Ian Poulter to be there if he's one of the top players yep. and deserves yep. to be there. I don't want to, win
right.
Without them having their best team. Exactly. I'm not so sure he is part of their best team, but I'm not even so sure who makes up their team anymore, because they all play on the American Tour.
Right, but they all play well in the Ryder Cup.
And right.
him being one of the main stalwarts against the United States over the last decade. So him getting in, for a lot of people, it was a big deal, and had Rich Beem not sold his soul for that one spot.
Hey, I'm all for Rich Beem, man. If somebody calls me, if I've got to go to Hong Kong and somebody calls me and says, hey, here's $1 million, stay home. Rich Beem would have had to win the tournament to win $1 million.
Well, true. So he made a good business decision, put it that way. I don't know how good a decision was for the country. But, yeah, we'll see next year how it all plays out. But either way, Poulter went over to Hong Kong, played decent, made the cut, shot a final round 69, and more than likely will be on the Ryder Cup team next year.
Yep. And Rich Beem will not.
He might be watching.
Unless he's a captain's choice.
It is at Hazeltine, and he did win the PGA tournament, a PGA championship there
sure.
way back when. But he will not
maybe
be
he'll be
the
an
Ryder
assistant
Cup.
Captain for the Europeans.
He knows the course for the Europeans, exactly.
Well, best part of the show, Fantasy Golf Primer for the CIMB, the PGA Tour, Heads to Malaysia. I don't mind when the PGA Tour goes international, because we're not called the American
Professional Golfer.
Professional Golfer. We're the PGA.
Yeah.
When Europe goes to Asia, it just doesn't make sense. But I do not necessarily like it that much that when the PGA Tour does it. True. It's going to be good because we'll be able to watch some late night golf, but so many great courses here in America,
Yeah, usually you see if it's a PGA tournament that's not in the United States, it's usually alternate from a major. They go to Mexico, or it's alternate from a World Golf Championship. But this has been one that they've gone to Malaysia for a few years now. Ryan Moore's won the last two.
Kuala Lumpur Golf and Country Club in Malaysia. It's 6,985 yard par 72. And as you said, Ryan Moore, two-time defending champ, two-time runner-up, Gary Woodland.
Mm-hmm.
So he might be a good pick for you this
Kevin
week. Also in the field, Henrik Stenson, world number six. Adam Scott's making his first start of the year. Ernie Els, Luke Donald, and Sergio also in the field. Now, last week, we had who was it? No winners.
We didn't have anyone. No. We didn't pick the winners.
I had Koepka. He missed the cut. You had Ryan Moore. He finished tied for 43.
Yep.
So the week before, we did really well. We had the winner, and we had all 12 make the cut.
We were money 2 weeks ago.
No top 10s last week.
No.
Top 20s, I had Fabian Gomez. You had Patrick Rogers, and we had 6 of 12 make the cut. So but picks that missed the cut were guys like Grillo, Snedeker, Wilcox, Hudson Swafford. He's my man, my sleeper.
Koepka.
Appleby didn't make the cut.
Appleby. Snedeker, my cut machine guy, I mean, he never misses a cut. He must have just...
It was a bad week.
Yeah.
For me, on DraftKings, it was a bad week if you listen to our picks.
100%, 50%, you know, we'll be back. We'll be back this week.
I feel pretty good about our picks this week, though.
Yeah, I agree.
I might as well kick it off, and you might be surprised to learn, you know, who my pick is to win this week, because he's a guy who, like I said, I don't... feel too confident. Like he has the strongest mental game.
A little disappointed in him, but here you go.
And I'm not really even a huge fan, but I got Kevin Na. When you finish twice in two straight weeks, you're ready to break through and win.
He should win. He's due for a win.
Nobody's playing better.
I mean, as far as swinging, hitting the ball, he's playing as good as they get. Just a couple of bonehead decisions in the last 2 weeks have probably cost him winning two tournaments.
Yeah, so Knott. I got Kevin Na. There he is.
I'm going to go with Henrik Stenson. You know, he's one of those big names out there. But basically, his last four tournaments, he's had a second, a T10, T2, and then you know he was right in the mix at the end there with Jordan Spieth to win the FedEx Cup. So
yeah, DraftKings likes him too. Yeah, he's the most expensive player at 12,100.
And I just like the way he's playing. I know he hasn't played in a couple weeks, but I like what he's done the last 2 months. And I just feel really good about him this week. I'm going to get the W this week.
There he is.
I,
for strong plays this week, I got Paul Casey at 9,500. I got Cameron Tringali at 8,000. He played good last week and tied for second.
Yep.
Morgan Hoffman at 7,200. He's unbelievable. Yeah. He just needs to be a little more accurate with the driver.
Yeah.
And he'll be right there. And another guy who's been playing good over the last 2 weeks, Brendan DeJong at just 7,900. I think that all these strong plays, maybe outside of Casey, are real bargains on DraftKings this week. I don't know, who do you got?
I can't argue with who you picked as a winner. I'm going to go with Kevin Na as one of my strong guys. Tony Finau, who's just been playing good from the start of last year right through to now. I had another good week last week, tied 16th at minus 10. He's 8,500 on DraftKings. Robert Streb, who had a good season and finished well towards the end of the season. He hasn't played yet this year. This is his first tourney. But I like Robert Streb. And Annibal Lahiri was T7 last week in Hong Kong. He's moving over to the PGA Tour this week. And I like how he's been playing as well. Regardless of that missed putt in the President's Cup, he's still one to watch. And then I think we can go on to our sleepers now. And I don't know if he's a sleeper per se, but I like Daniel Summerhays. He's a good value at 7,800. He was also T16 last week with Finau at minus 10. And I like the way he's been playing. So that's my
sleeper. We're going to have it out over that. I don't know if I can call Summerhays a sleeper. Well, I got Morgan Hoffman. He's 600 less as a strong play. I got a true sleeper, though. Not maybe as deep a sleeper as Stuart Appleby was last week, but Nick Taylor, 6,600.
All right, I like that.
I think he's undervalued. He did well last weekend at the Shriners. He made the cut where guys like Koepka didn't.
No.
You notice I told you I was going to take Koepka till he won last week, but here's Kevin Na.
Kevin Na, he switched quickly.
Yeah, and Koepka played horrible. He missed the cut.
Yeah. 2 weeks in a row. Good time for you to get off of Koepka.
Yeah, we'll go with a hot hand. Kevin Na to win. Nick Taylor's my sleeper, and it should be another great week of fantasy golf.
Looking forward to it.
It's the best part about the October-November PGA Tour start is the fantasy golf.
There's always something to watch and a reason to watch it.
Well, speaking about something to watch, if you haven't seen it yet, head over to golfj.com. where you can check out the video that went a little viral this weekend of a Sunshine Tour player.
Poor guy.
Yeah, he hit his ball into his balls.
Yes, lack of a better term. He lined up his shot. He was right up against the tree trunk. Took a swing, hit the ball, and the ball hit an area that we all kind of cringe when we see it. If you haven't seen it,
Jacques Kruiswijk,
watch it. It's
happened on Saturday. He was up against a tree. He swung the ball, somehow hit the tree root, and caught him right in the family jewels.
Yes, and you were saying penalty shot.
Yeah, well, he was assessed a penalty, but the real penalty was the true pain he must have been feeling.
Did you see his face? He kind of did it in stages.
Oh, he strove. That's how it goes. Anybody that's ever had that happen knows how it happened.
He was hands on his knees, then he was down to one knee, then he kind of just
moved over. Oh, boy.
He's like, this is not good.
Not good at all. But the penalty for your own ball striking you, your partner, or either of your caddies, or any of your side's equipment, if you have a partner.
Right.
Is a one-stroke penalty in either stroke or match play. Prior to 2008, it was a two-stroke penalty.
Yeah, right.
So at least he's got that going for him. Only one stroke penalty.
He only lost one stroke.
He carded a seven on the hole. So time for the answer to our trivia question. Steve Stricker was the winner of three consecutive John Deere Classics from 2009 to 11. The only others to do it in the past decade, Tiger Woods, who did it three times.
Yep.
So that would have been a good guess. He just wasn't the most recent.
And your guy.
And Stuart, well, he was my sleeper last week.
He's
I'm
your
not
guy.
A, I'm not
Come
a super Stuart Appleby fan.
You'll be picking him again this year. I know it.
Stuart Appleby did it at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions 2004, 2005, 2006. So Ryan Moore this week attempts to become the next guy to do that.
I think Appleby did it on a chip-in one of those years. I remember on 18, one of those years in the playoff or something like that. It was pretty interesting. It was a good tournament. Appleby, that's your guy.
So thanks for spending time with us tonight on the GolfJ.com podcast. Connect with us online, Twitter at TheGolfJ, Instagram at The_GolfJ, search for GolfJ on Facebook, and all our episodes and the best of the wide world of golf online can be found at GolfJ.com. We'll be back next Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Until then, hit them long, not often. GolfJ.com.